Okay. There it is. And just fix that like this.
What did she hit up?
Is that strange? That sounds... That, he sounded like he was reading from a book or something. Welcome to the Puzzling Evidence Show. Your late night hosts. Here for you, the listener. The enlightened listener. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Of course, Puzzling Evidence continues to entertain the fantasy that drivers on Highway 5 are listening intently, crashing off the road, stopping,
There it is. Yeah. Sorry, man. I thought it was mixed for internet.
Yeah. What happened? I thought it was too.
So it was Sir Mix-a-Lot you were thinking about.
That's who it was. Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like big butts.
Yep, and lots. And
but
I like
cannot Tella lie.
Boy. I like anything that has the title Tella and Boyd. I just have to play the song again. This is from McGill, which is on YouTube. And it's a fun little series people have made to hopefully get jobs in the soul-crushing town of Hollywood.
Really? Souls? They have souls in that town that they can actually crush?
In the little pipe on the highway, yeah.
But what about the new children born there don't have souls, do they? I mean, their parents...
Some do, but they're hunted down.
They're spread out of their parents.
Yeah, the spawn,
the new immigrants.
Spawn of Hollywood. Although I'm good friends with the spawn of Hollywood. And they try to get out of there as fast as they can.
Yeah, they do.
The good ones. Here on the show, we just have to...
And, of course, the new... Immigrants in L.A. do have the remains of the aforementioned soul. At least a vestigial remnant.
Yep. Just like this show, that's what this is, a vestigial remnant of X-Day.
This is a vestigial remnant of someone's dream.
Yep.
We don't know who, and when we find out, we're gonna hold them accountable.
Oh, I'm so glad that Blaine is totally off the game.
They just left it here. Hey, do you think anybody would want that?
No.
I think I'll...
We would.
I think I'll take some.
I'll buy my own t-shirt. I'm going to get 20 of my own t-shirts.
Hey, well, if it's a t-shirt, should we make a t-shirt for the show? I think we need to poll our listening audience, our active listeners, who are the ones that call. Because if you don't ever call, you're not really active. You're just a passive listener. You're just laying there playing with something. Probably who knows what it is. But it's not us because you're not listening actively and engaging the telephonic device of your choice and us through the magic of the internet. I said the internet, but I didn't mean it. It actually meant something else, but I didn't feel it safe to say it at this juncture. I felt it was probably a risky endeavor. At best, a risky endeavor. At worst, a poor choice. A choice of magnanimous import. On the show, for people with strong constitutions, bringing alien life to you, violent and sexy, for over 120 days.
Yeah.
Mystery and intrigue, funny and more playful than the show on before. Here we are, on the heels of the vanguard, known as us. Laying his guitar?
Nobody would if he could.
There's those active listeners.
Yeah, X-Day, Burning Man, it's all the same.
How dare you? We have
connected
by the...
There's so many people listening right now to this show.
If you're listening right now, I want you to put your finger to your throat and strum freely.
get ready to go to the Burning Man. There he goes. He's been to X Day.
There you go.
Oh, that guy shouldn't have been doing it. He was driving.
Have you ever asked yourself, what would I do if I had 32 virgins? What would I actually do?
I just crashed again.
You're probably gonna get. You're probably gonna be too shy to do anything. You're gonna go. Oh,
whatever you say on the radio becomes the truth.
Well, I was going to flay later, just like you suggested.
You're going to flay?
Yeah.
The next time Wombat has
you know what I do. You're going to flay everything you can find?
My guitar.
Flay your guitar.
Why not?
Not loudly, because...
Yeah, because it's
it hurts.
It's a weird hour.
It hurts a lot.
And headbutt the drum flow is a weird hour.
There we go. Oops, be careful.
Yeah, you said butt. Uh-huh.
I'm a considerable
neighbor. As long as you don't,
Well, it's not so bad because
did you ever wake up at, like, 3:36 in the morning and ask yourself, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do about that pasta and pumpkin sausage cream sauce I'm supposed to make this morning?
What am I going to do?
That's your cue caller.
No, it's your cue to say, I'm asking you if you ever said that.
I'm playing on the ground.
I never go to bed that early.
With garlic on it.
Put a little garlic on it.
Yeah,
and everything. A little bit of wine. Drink a little wine. Drink a little garlic.
But then I'm sure you're ready to go back to sleep.
You ever drank Tabasco?
My stomach might get upset.
Sometimes put the excess drippings on.
You pop open a bottle of Tabasco and start slugging.
That's right.
I have to pop a couple of Alka-Seltzers.
I knew Doug knew what I was talking about.
Did you ever know that there's a sliding scale between the concepts of genius and retard?
Hey, it's a fine line.
Is that like a sub-genius?
Yeah. I'm exposing secrets on the air. I'll have none of that, sir.
While vigorously disenfranchising a pile of rejected anal tissue, and making a big deal out of wearing his garments.
Oh, little caller went away. Call back.
Would you want to be in any statement?
Sure.
Philo deduced that banking his own anal squat droppings was the most prudent and economically stabilizing move he could make in the current financial climate.
Rob people.
I'm not really in the mood to talk about Bernie Man.
I knew a guy named...
Sorry to bring you down.
Rob once. His last name wasn't People, though.
Hey, I thought you were asking the most stable financial move to make in this crazy time.
Why I banked my own anal squat droppings, because I deduced that was the most financially sound move to make in this current fiscal ambiguity.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the club people and take their money.
The club people? Like club-footed people?
Yeah, the little 20-year-olds that go out and party all night. The club people. You see them at Baghdad Cafe at 3 in the morning.
Okay, now I want you to sign this certificate here that says while listening to the show that you will hold the show unaccountable for all terrible acts and strange performances and willful disobedience and probably horrible other things that you might do as a precursor or as a result of listening to the show, since you don't have your own motive decision-making power. You're just puppets. You'll just respond whatever we say, completely disconnected from your own will. And now the forms are available. So if you'll call now, 510-848-4425, we'll see to it that you get a copy of these forms to share with your friends. And the United States Senate.
Yeah, I'm glad they're going to get a copy. I see. Why isn't this happening?
And today, the court denies existence of Mumia Abu-Jamal. In other news...
Yes.
There was no other news.
Oh.
Except for this letter from a listener. Dear Puzzling Evidence, I heard what happened to you that sucks a lot. You know you should not be doing that, but I hope you did not know that that was what was in that drink your teacher said he only seen you take one drink. So I hope they believe you that you did not know what was in your drink. And I will be praying every night for you. I hope you don't have to stay in there for a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Letter writer about the unfortunate experience that befell Puzzling Evidence 3 minutes later. I'm fine now.
Puzzling Evidence hung on to that
question.
Memory of 3 minutes ago.
I'm playing my way out of your mind now, caller.
4 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Hanging on to that sacred 3 minutes that was so fond in his memory.
Yeah, if I could only go back 3 minutes ago, life was great then.
He invested at least 4 minutes thinking about those 3 minutes. Would it come back to him as a prudently invested?
Hello?
Yes, come in. Come in, listener.
Yeah, let's just drop the plot here.
We'll just drop the plot and go to whoever, whatever female listener happens to call.
Tell me why Turntable 4 won't.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Burning Man.
Oh, right, thank you.
But can you tell us why Turntable 4 won't work?
I can. I think Turntable 4 has, like, this little sticky thing, which is probably probably that beetle that you saw earlier.
It's probably got that sticky thing on it.
She was right here.
She was right.
I'm just pulling it out here.
Hey, thank you, caller. That was excellent. Now, what did you want to say about Burning Man?
Well, I was actually talking more about, like, Icarus and Daedalus. I've been noticing that you haven't had any mythology mixed in yet.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, Puzzlin. Where is the mythology that should be heavily imbued in the mix at this point?
Oh, what's that?
I was just asking our mixologist.
I still have an answering machine, so I'm just getting your message now.
He's just now getting your message. We would have had some mythology already mixed in here, and my expectation was fairly high myself.
Sorry.
I was looking for Icarus and Daedalus. Actually, I was looking for the wings. I just wanted to try the wings out.
Okay, yeah, that sounds wonderful.
And don't we have to fasten those with wax, right?
Tell me a bit more about Burning Man.
Oh, yeah, that was the Burning Man I meant. Is there some other Burning Man?
No, but they're... Oh, that Burning Man, the Icarus and Daedalus, they flew too close to the sun, their wings melted, but it was the crash to Earth that actually brought about their demise, wasn't it?
18 months of an hour.
Wouldn't you think about that, caller, that it was actually the crash to Earth that caused their death and... I guess they could have burned. The sun could have set the wings on fire. I think that's probably
more of a melting.
They're all melty. Yeah, they went all melty and wee down into the big.
So they might have been more like Melting Man. They could have been Melting Man.
Melting Man.
Where's Melting?
Because there's an Ice Man that's been going on for years.
Yeah.
And there are now, I think, in all 50 states, there are little Burning Man lists.
Right. And don't forget Couch Man that just stays at home and doesn't do anything.
Yep. Watches this show.
That's me tonight.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the other man, the other thing man. He does anything else but that.
Yeah, those guys are, I think, related to some geniuses.
Yeah. They have to go away from where everybody's together.
Yeah.
They can't stand that camaraderie and brotherhood.
The film festivals encompass 15-mile areas because they insist on camping 3 miles from each other.
Yeah, there's only
eight of them.
Eight of them at the whole festival. That's a successful one when there's A.
It's usually inverse proportion to Burning Man. Like an X day, there are 50,000 people, but they all hate each other, so they're all 3 miles from each other.
But I've been to a successful Subgenius Film Fest where there was only one Subgenius at it.
Well, each one is that, the successful one. That guy by himself watching his movies to the exclusion of all others. And if you
in the middle of nowhere.
You can throw the cans of slack right at the screen. Actually, that was one of the things that really lit my heart up about Burning Man. The very first time I went there was driving around and...
throwing cans of slack?
In the darkness, just driving on this big flat table, you know, slowly realizing there's nothing out here except flatness.
And some random.
And I saw a light,
sleeper.
I drove toward it, and it was a big screen, and a guy was showing cartoons in black and white, of Betty Boop cartoons. And I just drove up to this guy's drive-in theater in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, that was me. Here. That was me.
See, I've never been to Burning Man, but I would think the flatness would start to mess with me after a point.
It does. It does, definitely.
It does. I'm used to going out to the forest, the hills, but flatness.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, exactly. And that, in fact, I took Sterno out there about 2 years ago. Yeah, hold on. About 2 years ago, I took Sterno out to the desert, and that very thing happened to him. He kept mumbling, "No trees." This is an old friend who lives in Arkansas and shoots a lot of in there. And he became very discombobulated. It is. That's part of what, again, part of why I did what I did at Burning Man for many years was... One of the things, I was thinking about this earlier today, I used to watch couples very closely as I rangered around in the early days when we were kind of the mop-up troops that fixed everything that had been slopped over by the big party. And couples were going through the most amazing gyrations and stressful periods because there's everything you can imagine out there. And it's dusty and it's nighttime and there's temptation and drugs and falling distances and loud noises and everything humans are afraid of and crave out there. And it's incredible amounts of stress. And yet at the same time, it's a party. Really an amazing event. Really interesting event.
I do like the party.
And well, it's, you know, for me, I don't like the party. So I like to work the party because somebody has to not do the drinks and somebody has to kind of mop up the floor. And I don't mind doing that. So I do all that stuff. And in the meantime, I receive the true value of this kind of human gathering, which is I have friends that I will have the rest of my life because of that event. So it really just becomes the most amazing social sponge.
I like to party.
And you start meeting all kinds of folks doing all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wait a minute. What is what? Abby. I call her Abby.
Is it still worth going to? I've heard mixed reviews.
Yes, Dr.
Yeah.
Halala.
I think that's yeah. You know, the thing is that it's hard to know what it's turned into quite. I haven't been since 2001. I just, by 98,
okay?
I was...
Do you eat halal meat?
I was burnt.
Yeah.
But it's still, I don't know. I think the essential thing is still there. Somewhere buried deep inside of it. And each year is very different, so that's also a thing. This year, my feeling is it's going to be great. And I'm taking little Dr. Hal, who's probably listening right now, on the first step of that journey tomorrow night. And I was, you know, entertaining dreams of driving up there myself. But there are changes to it, which... It basically, we took everything from this world up there. In the beginning, it was to escape this place. Now it's more like it's Black Rock City, and it means city, and all the things that come with city. And so it's not the same. Whether it's better or worse, that's up to each person that goes to it.
It's more of an institution.
Yeah, and my friends were the less institutionally based ones. They're the ones that left in from 96 on. Although, like I said, all different layers of participation, non-participation, but it really is an interesting social event. Monkey gathering.
Do they still have the Flight to Mars ride there?
No, this year they've got, this year they will have another spaceship.
Another spaceship?
There's a big old spaceship there. It's supposed to take off. I don't know. There were a couple things years ago. There was a landed spaceship that just was amazing early on. It broke, of course, like everything in the desert. But there was a landed Mercury capsule kind of thing with its own streamered chute and a perfectly dug-in approach, as if it had come in on a low, shallow orbit and landed almost soft enough for a little humi. And the door was open, and you could climb in this capsule and sit in the seat of the capsule, and all the panels work, as if the astronaut had just left. Pretty neat. And one year, there was a breaching submarine. That was gorgeous. A full-size... submarine, like World War II level submarine, coming out of the playa, you know, perfectly done. All that kind of stuff. And there's stuff, again, one year I turned and looked and I could see 5 miles away, I don't know, about 100 people dragging a 5-story styrofoam lion that was originally used in the opera Aida. The guy made the two lions, they're huge, and the deal was once the opera was over, he had to take the lions back. So he had them in storage and brought them to Burning Man. And they were just, you know, we're talking like sphinx-sized lions. Very relatively light. 100 people can tow it. But, yeah, slaves to Larry were pulling the pyramids into shape. It was pretty fun.
Must have been like in those early days.
What if, say, Ivan Stang was the Larry Harvey? What if some genius had been 50,000 X day every year?
Future.
It'd be so interesting. Somebody should write a short story about that. Yeah. And Larry Harvey was a guy.
And they would have said, shut up, pink boy.
I think some luck plane shed on him. I'm not quite sure if it's a luck plane or not.
They could have.
It's sort of like Hal, who isn't listening at all right now. Getting all the slack he ever wanted, he would still be haunted by the D-A-O-Muns. How do you spell
child.
It?
D-A-O-Muns. D-A-R-Diamond.
Diamond.
Has there ever been like a big sub-genius art installation of any kind?
Oh, yeah. They're sort of like Burning Man, but they happen and they go by real fast.
There was that one in New York.
There's one in October. I will say there is one coming up. It will all be
at Portland of Ireland.
Portland of Ireland, yeah.
I'm going to that.
And then you'll see all of us, old guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'll be the one young guy there.
No, there are lots of, yeah. No, you'll meet other young
people.
There's
a lot of old guys. They look like old guys, but they have very childlike minds.
I think that's what I appreciate about them.
So even though they maybe look 57, they're actually only 22 in their mind. Maybe only 17 and a half.
It would be a great gathering of the many. That's what I like. It's rarely you get the big gatherings of all the sub-gum geniuses. And it's fun. It's like fun.
If they had a different word for fun and it wasn't exactly the same thing as fun, they would call it like fun.
It's like fun, and then we'll have this big subgenius after party and stay up all night doing slack.
You know, there's a donut shop right around from where the Divival's supposed to be, I hear.
Oh, now where is the Divival supposed to be, that you hear?
I hear it's supposed to be in downtown Portland, right around the block from Voodoo Donuts.
It's good that it's close to a donut shop.
Cool, that is excellent.
And they actually sell an Arnold Palmer donut, which is kind of fun.
That's good. We could launch a few of them while we're there.
Yeah.
We could do some Arnold Palmer launchings.
Yeah. So I think it's a lemon frosted donut.
That would be great to smack a bunch of donuts off tees. I'll buy them.
I'll bring a couple of golf clubs just to be able to make sure we've got something to smack them with.
That would be great.
They have a lot of good donuts there. They put all kinds of crazy toppings on them.
Okay, they got good donuts. Okay.
Well, he said they put crazy toppings on them.
They put bacon on one of the maple bars.
Now we're talking.
Wow, I would try that.
I've always
been for bacon-flavored sweets.
Yeah.
And this is real bacon, like an actual thick piece of bacon. It's pretty good.
Yeah, now you're talking.
They also have, they put like cereal. There's one with like, I think, Fruit Loops.
Excellent, yeah.
Are you glad you called the show tonight?
I want one with M&M's.
Oh, I am overjoyed.
It's going to be fun.
I took tomorrow off with the express intention of possibly calling the show tonight.
You did. That's good planning on your part. I really think that the rest of Northern California should take your example and take tomorrow off.
I agree.
Copying you because you're so inspired.
I had the day coming, and I used it as best I could.
Yeah, I think that's great. Use the day.
It's coming all day.
We don't say seize the day. We say use the day.
Utilize the day.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the sad part is you're going to utilize some of those days to go to Portland to see some Dini's dance around in a demonic dance of death.
Yeah.
backed by popular demand, but watch out because it's highly flatulent.
And there'll be all kinds of Burning Man people there because, well, I know of one, I wonder if she's going, one of the, tertiary level of Burning Man's, young Chloe is going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there was a deal with her dog. If she couldn't take her dog with them, she wasn't going to go. And even, well, I mean, I've always liked the rule that you can't take dogs, but it's funny, just there's so many rules as the city grows. Although it's supposed to be smaller this year, more intimate.
It's going to incorporate the latest in the mind control technology.
Cell phones?
The show. Yeah. Not the show, but the Subgenius Convention. We'll have the latest in mind control technology there. We'll be inducing trance-like states in low IQ humanoids.
All right. It's been a while since I had one of those.
But beware, this is not kid stuff. These people are hell-bent for leather.
All right.
These shows have successfully been used for marital sex aids in several foreign countries. Contains both genuine live studio and real live recordings.
So can I ask a church question?
Sure. Ask away.
My girl was wondering, what is Connie's preferred method of birth control?
I think she goes by the rhythm method.
Oh, okay.
It's like an abstinence, you know?
She just expunges it by will. She's too tough to impregnate.
Dot face.
She has like
just slaps her tummy and then
suicidal juices.
Yeah,
they make every sperm want to commit suicide.
Yeah, and some do.
Naturally spermicidal.
Yeah,
yeah, most do. Some can't. Some are stranded on a little hill as the river of sperm flies around the little hill, and they turn Christian. The ones that don't.
That's true.
For years we've wondered
there's actually
why.
Christian sperm.
Yeah, after exposure to Subgenius, so it isn't that many.
Not outside any particular vessel, though. It doesn't exist outside a vessel, does it?
No.
There has to be something to put it in.
Yeah.
People, sure. But this is different. This is sick. This is about the sickest thing I've ever heard on KFJZ.
Yeah,
me too. In fact, I'm going to quit listening right now, George.
Yeah, turn off your radios, everybody. Stop listening to this awful show on KPFA 94.1.
That's a famous quote.
89.3 KPFB in Berkeley. And KFCF in Fresno and online at kpfa.org.
Org is in O-R-G.
Just,
not orgy, but O-R-G.
We're practicing for our band's going to play at the Portland Divide.
Yeah, this is the famous band, the Worthless Nobodies.
We used to open for Swinging Love Corpses.
Yeah, the Worthless
And when the people stood in petrified shock, and the Swinging Love, before we were able to even leave the stage, the Swinging Love Corpses would just fly up and kick us off the stage and then start playing, and people would fly out the exit.
They would fly out so fast, they could clear a hole, they could get rid of the people that
some
shouldn't
were hurt
be there.
By the chairs, yeah.
And make the famous writers so sad that they never talked to them again.
I think I have like a few moments of the Betty Page lookalike contest that came before the Swinging Love Corpses, traditionally, in all videotapes.
Me a lot of times about the warning on the label of the Swinging Love Corpses music. They always have a warning label on it. Have you noticed that? These albums contain satire, which may be sexually, politically, and or religiously offensive to individuals with little or no sense of humor. Also may contain any one or more of the following: backmasking, backbasking, and subliminal messages purported to induce trances, demonic possession, incontinence, goat worship, and hives.
Those are all selling.
contains the Swingin' Love Corpse's most controversial tunes, including Bad Mofo, Bummer, Save the Universe, and more. Nasty, nasty RB&R that takes up where Zappa wisely left off. And that's that for that. They're up there, while we're, they're there.
And we're here doing the show, talking about little tiny coming up events, little cute events in the desert and in Portland, which I moved back to since the Santas raided years ago. And the, man, that was how long, this is how long ago. A guy came in and talked to us, and he was the screenwriter for the movie The Fight Club. And that is why Bob gets shot in the movie Fight Club.
Oh.
What?
As John Law said, you should talk to this guy, as I was going back on Robert Burke's bus. And this is the first time we were there. And I thought John was doing, I didn't know him. I thought he was doing History of Cacophony and Suicide Club. So, and, which is sort of an extension of what we were doing in this third Santa event back in 90, something like 98, 97, I think. So anyway, which is now Santa Key, which is all over the place. And so he grabs me and says, no, tell him about Bob, some genius, blah, blah, blah. So I blah, blah, blah for a while, of course, making a huge deal out of how I shot Bob and then the rest of the church, you know. And so that's how it reflects in that movie, because that movie, the vehicle that he's using to talk about being in the generation of the 80s is people like John Law and Gary Warren and all these anarchists and chaos inducers that that are the Brad Pitt character coalesced into a form where he, that part of us that says, no, you should jump in the swirling water.
Yeah, you should. You should jump in.
I did, as a kid. I mean, I've had those moments. That's why John Law and I became friends, because we both understood that once you saw the guy's head and shoulders disappearing into the ground behind you out of the corner of your eye, you have a choice. You either follow him down the rabbit hole or you just walk away and forget it.
And in Latin, that means occulto iam predum in nebula tempor muse multe erant orbs enim is terrarum orbita pleric iam irum. Thank you.
Show us so much information.
You're taking notes, I hope.
We're chock full of stuff.
That was a fun run, because at that time, Chicken John and his cohorts had packed little animals in the act of cohabitation, but not all. They were little toys, mm-hmm. and those were wrapped in Playboy Playmates from 50s and 60s Playboy. Mm-hmm. So when we got to Portland, old young Master Ed Holmes and Robert Burke and a bunch of Santas are walking along whatever square that is, probably where we're doing our show, handing out these presents. And one of the fathers took a look at the bare breastises and went,
kabonkers. That's pornography.
And it certainly is right. So the cops flew in, and I happened to be near Ed, so I shot his arrest, and there was a woman cop who just kept trying to block me shooting, and it was wonderfully dramatic.
Wonderful.
And they were arrested. They went to the jail, and he has a wonderful tale about, in fact, I have all that. That's going to come up.
The cops probably have some right sense then about that.
Well, it was an interesting night, because see, he was in the hooscow with all the everybody, and in Santa suits, and they had little marijuana appliances with them. So one marijuana appliance was put in Robert Burke's butt crack, and then once they were released, because at that point, what had happened is the San Francisco police, having seen us Santas for 2 years, were really, really up in arms and sent the word to the Portland police that we were anarchists and baby eaters and we were ready to do horrible things to their city. And it took them a little while to realize, no, we're just the people in Santa's house and having some fun. So then we were at Suburbia, a club miles away in, I think, suburban, across the bridge in suburban Portland. And they were released and showed up. So it was a great night of fanfare. And after the fanfare at 4 a.m., I walked outside and there was the woman police officer who who was trying to block me earlier, like 6 hours before, block my video shot, was now joking and dancing with the Santas, and they had the entire cage car, their cruiser, full of Santas. The cage had 9 Santas in the back. They were trying to stuff and see how many Santas we could get in. So we had won the con. It was a very strange, funny night.
Very strange.
And the best part is, was Reverend Al, yes, Margaret Cho's husband, had strapped fireworks. And a whole, second time in my life where I got to shoot this, had a whole thing of fireworks.
This was the Santa convention, though.
The third one.
Yeah.
And he has a plastic Santa suit on, and he was going to light it, and I backed up. I'm ready to go. So I'm thinking, he's going to go up a little bit. And he goes, he's starting to go, he's going, the owner comes in with a fire extinguisher for like, 20 seconds. Just realizes what's about to happen. And so now it's all full of like darkness and this awful chemical.
Yeah.
That's why I went outside and met the coppices. And the coolest part is, as I walked up, one of the Santas is trying to pick up on the blonde. They're two female police officers, and one of them is one of the Santas is trying to pick up on the blonde in the shotgun seat. And as I walk over, he said, "Well, tomorrow night I can stay up here. You want to go out?" And the one who was trying to block my shot says, "Sure, sure, if you like Melissa Etheridge." And everybody laughs.
It was a great
night of Santa's meaning.
What a great response. I wish I'd thought of that. Shut up.
I love my dog, but damn.
Do the show. Shut up.
That dog just won't leave you alone, man. What's the deal with that?
You have dogs in your radio station?
Not anymore. I mean, President Ellis just kicked
it out. I took care of the dog. Yeah, no, it's still alive. I mean, I like my dog. I love my dog.
He likes his dog. Hey, Puzzling Evidence, did you see that letter that you got this week?
No. What did it say?
It's from a listener. It's from a listener. It says, "Dear Puzzling Evidence, I will always have your back. But I was raised to have my family come first, and solid people are my family. You're my show and all, but there will be times when I will be needed by my kids. And I have no choice but to go. You and my family and kids are all I got left."
That happens sometimes.
"Just learn how to be an observative and aware of your surroundings. I try not to make things hard, but I'm trying to look out for both of us and the show." This person, I don't understand who they're talking about here, but they're trying hard. And their script is very slanted.
Not really.
So they're trying to look out for the show and both of us, and it's hard because you and I don't communicate much. Because you tell people our business, and no one should know anything about our business or what me or I am doing, except you and me. I also feel like you don't trust me, but no matter what, I will have your back only if you have mine. Love, always. I love you no matter what. Ron,
you know you don't trust
Ron L.
We've come to grips with that.
Yeah, that's,
isn't that poignant?
It is. That's Ron Hubbard. That's just before he died.
That's from Ron L. Hubbard.
All these, remember that cult leaders conference we all went to?
Yeah, he really took a shine to you.
He got a give up the crush on me, and then he died.
He had a great crush. We went to that cult leaders conference. L. Ron Hubbard was there. The L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
And he really got a crush on Puzzling Evidence. He couldn't get over the fact that Puzzling Evidence didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was just a happy-go-lucky guy. He was hanging out with all the cult leaders. He didn't want to spend all of his time with just one cult leader.
Yeah,
particularly Scientologists. It was old at the time. We were looking for something
That's
new.
That's an interesting question.
I really didn't believe was pretty needy too.
That caller was. I mean, that letter writer was so needy.
Yeah,
I got your back, but only if you got mine.
Yeah, well, he was out there sailing around on his little boat, his big rusty scupper thing, and he got really lonely out there, surrounded by bobbies.
Well,
it's hard. I mean,
look at how
he
was dealing with
it is hard.
There was a huge mansion with bobby servants and and all this stuff, and it gets lonely.
Sure, and you can get jealous easy.
Celebrities are killing each other over all of his hoopla now.
His hoopla? Ivan Stang's hoopla?
The majority leader of the House?
Yeah, I've seen people kill themselves over his writing, sure. But that was a long time ago. Look, we don't really want to talk about that, those days. That was,
no.
That was early 80s. Things were different in Arkansas.
And everyone is eligible for this kind of criticism for only an additional $300 per child. For example, this would mean you could call up and give $600 if you had two children. And the children will never, ever be lonely again. From now on, your child will sit patiently waiting for the next event to happen.
Yep.
Signing the liability waiver.
Early on should know about the event horizon.
Right, and signing the little liability waivers over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, practicing for school. When you'll need those liability waivers.
But you can't exactly hold Del Ron Hoover.
No, you can't because he's gone. I know, it's hard, but don't be as scared. You can hug him in spirit. He's here for you, even though he's afloat out there in a little empty, rusty scupper.
Rusty scupper.
I wonder if it's still on there. There's some wonderful interviews on YouTube with him back and just before he closed up.
The Rusty Scupper.
That was actually a horrible bar.
Yeah, I remember that. Didn't it turn into the Rusty Pelican?
Yes, that's right.
Neither one of which should have been Rusty.
No.
What's this whole Rusty thing?
Yeah, no, it's just a terrible
thing. I don't
want
to know what a Rusty Pelican is.
Well, the history of it is filled with great personalities and events that have been shaped not only by the development of the Rusty Scupper.
Sounds like an awful thing.
The show.
It's awful.
It is.
Awful.
The most awful show ever heard on radio.
But only this new system can guarantee you real security. Individuals cry out for security.
And none of which can be found here on the show.
None of it is delivered by us. Back in the old days,
go back to your furtive affairs. Your short-term escapes. Yep, that's the guy.
Old dot face, they called him.
Sorry, I'm just throwing some show away here. It's the part I don't use.
I've got to go. My telephone is getting rough.
848-425 to continue our conversation about Green Man or the... I guess it's a divival. The thing is, I made that word up, but I put it on my T-shirt. Now everything's a divival. That was the first old big T-shirt giveaway. That was fun. I put Bob on one side, and I put Puzzling Evidence on the other.
That's all right.
And you buy...
it's okay.
Do you have yours?
Yeah, I did. I still got mine.
Because that's like...
I'm saving all my Subgenius T-shirts for a Subgenius quilt I'm going to make.
Wow, to say goodbye to all the stuff.
Some of them are so shrunken so much, I can't really wear them anymore. But they still have this great image on them.
Right.
And it's something that I want people to know about. Hey, did you see this? This is something I wanted. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I did somewhere.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know, but
there's factuses.
I wanted to provide this the real truth about the nudist movement in America. You know, you've heard about this?
No, I haven't.
The practice of nudism has been going on for years and years.
Oh boy! Really? Nope.
Some have indulged in it because of its erotic effect, but the names of these are legion across all civilized mankind. If it is normally constituted, reacts, blah, 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 blah. That's all we care about, the facts of nudism. What we really care about is making sure your child's PFD fits properly.
Where is he?
Am I coming to the next show?
The next show, yeah.
Are we coming to the next show?
I am coming to the next show, yeah.
We are?
Yeah, I only do show, sleep for a while, get up, start driving like this.
Well, I think we should start driving like around the same time, don't you think?
We can. I'll be going faster than you, though.
Yeah, you probably
will. Because I'll be having sex.
Because you'll be having what?
A light load. Yeah. Sorry, I was just burping up some. I ate some show.
You ate some show. Got some show digestion.
But with the CB radios, we will be in contact.
Did you see where you go?
I went, and I was just hoping to, just before I go, they may. They're $100 and stuff. That's not good.
What's?
The CB.
No, radio. Not. I was talking about in terms of the.
The map is
like map it out. It's not as far as it looks.
Yeah.
It was like, California is a huge state. Nevada's not as big, relatively speaking, and so you don't think about it, but you can drive to the middle of Nevada a lot quicker than you can drive to the middle of California. So that's what we're going to do. And there we will be participating in the Subgenius Film Fest in the middle of nowhere.
Oh,
also the alien...
New York Times had articles about... The Film Fest device itself is now this big.
The little projectors, yeah.
Unbelievable, the stuff that's happening right now. It's like,
and that $10,000 one that I have still just plugs along. I was thinking about that last night.
Is that what you're bringing, or do you have the smaller one?
No, I'm all bringing the big one.
Cool.
I hear they're coming out with an iPod projector, so you can watch all your movies on your iPod.
So we should, like, what are you bringing to show? Because I'm thinking we could do some backgrounds, put them on the buildings, and then interact in movies with the backgrounds.
We can bring any number of things. We've got tons and tons. And it'll be the Easter challenge to figure out from our panel of experts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and our mystery guest, what the actual truth of the Bible is. We want to figure out which is the right book of the Bible.
You should put out a GPS of the Grantsville. We'll be at Grantsville in Nevada, which is just south, I think, of Berlin Ichthyosaur State Park.
What's that?
Which is sort of south of Ione.
Grantsville. Yeah, we'll be in Grantsville showing movies.
So we should always put out the little GPS of Grantsville. See,
we'll have the famous.
You can make it to this place.
All right.
I gave you all.
You gave me
that's
that.
That's why right? I recognize all this stuff. Yeah.
It's wonderful. I put it in a thing called Show Fodder.
Yeah,
and then I drug it out a couple years later.
Young people were selling those. They were convinced they were high art.
Like that one. I wish I knew who these people were who put this together. This is funny.
He's looking at pictures of his own life.
I'm looking at pictures of my own eyeball.
Lost his bearings now. And he looks at early subgeniuses, what Ivan Stang calls as the Lonely Boys Network or something. And he's forgotten all about what happened in those early days of subgenies when he used to put his hot tub on his truck and drive around.
I did. I put my hot tub up there.
He just didn't want to be that far from his hot tub ever. Just the kind of guy he
was. And now people are doing that all over the country, putting their hot tubs up on their trucks and thinking they're really original.
Go across the highways of
America. I was the first one to do that. You might have been the first one to say Divival. I was the first one to put a hot tub on my truck
to drive
around.
So right there, the cutaway will be the appropriate car era, and you're turning into a parking lot of a Shoney's, and you're climbing out of the hot tub and getting into the pancake.
Man, oh man, taste that maple syrup.
Saucy.
It tastes like it just came out of the tree and was cooked down properly and put into its little container and shipped to the store just for me. Just for me.
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah. And so, I got it. You got it. We got it together. You know we're going to get it together.
Yep, and we got to wear suits, too, to that Divival.
We do.
Like the old days of going to the Scareaway Sunshine or Rain or whatever her name was. I was just thinking.
I wear the suit that I wear to St. Stupid's Day, I think. A multicolored suit.
Yeah, I'm going to be the old suit guy.
Yeah.
Like the drummer in the L.A. thing, which I've got to say, I just realized Nancy Ferguson also did part of the, well, the theme song. Mark Mothersbaugh did the theme song for the Mystery Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy
mm-hmm.
Ferguson's in there. She's on YouTube. She has a little song called
But shouldn't we get Dr. Hal to make us a new T-shirt for the event so we can go up
no,
there?
No, we can just say, take the...
Wish we had a copy of that show shirt you got on, Dr. Drummond.
The we'll just take the ones he did already with the circular little portraits of all of us.
It doesn't have me, though, does it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got everybody. Because everybody's been on the show. That was so he's done all of the heavies, all of the...
But we cool look like, we don't look like that anymore.
Well, there is that.
Of course, if he made us look like what we look like now, we'd all look alike.
I don't think
like
you understand
bald guys with mustaches.
Yeah. I don't think you get what this whole portraiture thing is about. This is how we want to be remembered. Nefertiti and things like that. This is not what actually happened to our...
Well, I'll get my head shot that I did for
systems.
The famous...
We're going to shock. These are... This outside thing is not what I am, so we're just going to unzip
we're
it.
We're going to unzip our external shell and show the glorified self, that glorified state that we all want to...
Forget about the glorification, about the romance.
Aspire to.
The romantification. Forget about it all.
Okay,
start
I forgot.
Start with
it.
The real life.
I forgot.
Breaking Bob and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not that useless stuff that you are used to in your everyday, mundane, stupid life. The normal life. The Bob way of life. The way that Bob sees you and your life. Wouldn't you like to be like that? Wouldn't you like to be like that?
He's taking over the
What is that? Those brainwaves.
What was that?
Well, that was an enlightened caller, but I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I think he went around the dark side.
How refreshing it was
planet.
To hear that.
I hope he's going to be at the beautiful little October Portland thing.
Mm, me too.
Because, so we fired Hal's body off into space. It'll be in Portland in time for the show. And the official story is that he went to Burning Man. So if anybody asks, you say, oh, yeah, I saw Hal. He was at Burning Man.
He was?
Yeah.
You took him up there already?
I did.
Tracy?
No. That's tonight.
That's tonight?
It's the wonderful...
I kept on telling all my friends who were going to Burning Man to look for him.
For Dr. Hal?
Fashion show. He loves doing the fashion show.
That's the only reason to go to Burning Man, you know, is to look for Dr. Hal.
Yeah. Probably the main reason I went, if I ever do go.
You ever
Me
get
too.
Up off the couch?
It'd be the only reason I went if I ever do go.
You guys are really Catholic about this stuff.
Yeah, you know, art, you know, community, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Nah, you know. When you guys are in Portland, you should go visit the Woodstock Mystery Hole if you have the time.
Is it still there?
What's that?
I like any place that has mystery and hole in the same
maybe.
Name.
The last, see, there was a Portland revival years ago that I made, actually made a pretty good edit of, and you can see it on YouTube. And
but did you go to the Mystery Hole?
Yeah, we did. I have videos of us in the Mystery Hole, and I'm wondering if he's made improvements. And that's wonderful that he's
Baron?
Still there.
You meet the guy who owns it, Baron?
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be a substitute teacher at my high school, actually.
That seems like, he seems like very much like a substitute teacher at your high school.
Yeah.
Is he still a substitute teacher at your high school?
I don't know. I haven't been to my high school.
He's probably old and bald and has a mustache.
You left your high school a long time ago, I understand.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, actually.
He still needs a job, though.
Yeah, I'm assuming he still hopefully works there. He was kind of like the institutional
substitute.
Yeah, for our high school. Like, anytime somebody was out, he was kind of the default guy.
Yeah.
It was social studies or English or something.
That's kind of like, that would be an interesting profession to be like a professional substitute teacher that you can cover every subject, but you're not really good enough or desirable enough to actually be a permanent teacher.
And just kids sort of loved him, though.
Everybody knows.
Him a lot.
He's the guy that it lets everybody slide, you know. He doesn't take names. He is a smart guy, but he won't play by the rules.
Exactly.
And he has a big old hole in his backyard that's probably bigger.
He's got a big old hole in his pocket that's always leaking money out.
The other guy that had the hole in his backyard stole a tank while he was on methamphetamines and drove around San Diego and tried to kill people. So your guy is probably
cool. Much cooler. He had a hole in his pocket that the
lack of
hang
out with him.
The lack of amphetamines is a really good sign.
Yeah. It's usually better than
there's a little tiny 49-minute movie called Cul-de-Sac about that guy. And he was digging. This is the guy that stole the tank, I don't know, 10 years ago in San Diego. And drove around and was trying to kill people. I mean, it was really out of his
mind. Yeah, that guy.
And,
that was like 20 years ago,
He had dug a mystery hole in his backyard and salted it with gold and had other amphetamine abusers digging, finding the gold, and going, this is going to be cool, man. And he was suing San Diego for his mineral rights. And what's finally... And so there's a great news team that gets all the way back down into the hole before the wife flips out and throws him out. It's just
sad.
Oh, I meant it was sad. Yeah, I shouldn't be laughing at the... that's what I meant.
At the poor demise.
Sad that the man
the aforementioned.
Mad.
Sad now?
All
right, hold up. I normally would say fuck you there with pink rush.
For the pinkness?
The pinkness.
The pinkness.
A tank in Linda Vista 20 years ago.
Bob.
Should be. 30 years ago.
Not quite. I think I closed it. This guy played 20 years ago.
What happened 20 years ago?
Tank guy in San Diego. I think it was 20
was
years
it
ago.
20 years ago? Wow, yeah. Cul-de-sac has... I'm sure that was the only little documentary I've seen on it, and it was interesting just because it did fill in some of the blanks for me. I've often wondered why you would do that, because that was really...
It was a
surreal, incredible, wonderful thing to watch media-wise, but really awful to do as one human to another. It was like seeing Darth Vader. You know, you go to the bar, and there's Darth Vader, and you think, well, I don't know, should I go in this bar or not? And then if you went into the bar... And Darth Vader's the only guy there, I would say don't go to the bar. Because you know he's going to get drunk, get stupid, start doing horrible tricks.
Oh, yeah.
Tricks,
Darth
man.
Vader's an angry joke.
Well, he does have some issues.
1995.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to step away for a moment.
This music's making me feel, space world-like.
I'm gonna have to redeposit some of this other stuff back there. Oh, look, I got this one. I like that one.
Good one, those. Yeah.
That's a good one. It's back when...
They are good guys.
What's her name was still in it.
Yep. And there's so much. So much will be happening here on the show soon.
So much.
The next show and the next show and the next show. That's what I was thinking. I don't know how many... Hal won't be here in the next show, and you might not be here if you're going to take off, but you might be here if you're going to... If you need donuts at 5 in the morning.
Going to the Berg?
No, we're going to the Subgenius Film Fest at Grand Ichthyosaur State Park.
Anybody can go.
We're going to be showing band. It's going to be banned cartoons. Cartoons that are no politically incorrect, censored, banned, and otherwise unviewable cartoons that we grew up with and loved and didn't realize they were racially distorting our whole concept of what was correct.
Yeah, I'm going to go take some pictures because it's full moon time.
And then in the daytime, we'll be going to
look at the sleeping,
but we'll also be looking at the ichthyosaur fossils.
Yeah.
We'll be going from, we'll be staging movie shots at the ghost town of Grantsville, where we'll stay for a night or so. We also have another ghost town or two we're going to try to visit by the way.
So
that's going to be fun. It's a long way from here. It's in the middle of nowhere, so we can assure that we will not be disturbed. It's in Nevada.
No, you go straight across basically. Too.
It's like if you go to Austin and then south to Gabs, and in Gabs you go due east, and there is a state park in the middle of nowhere, Berlin. Ichthyosaur State Park, and it does contain the largest deposit of ichthyosaur fossils in the entire world.
The world with a T.
The whole world.
It's a pretty neat little state park.
It's very cool.
And Nevada has a budget. They keep their ghost towns as ghostly as possible, so it's really a treat. You get to go to all these little neat abandoned places and show movies on the sides of the buildings. And they have dead cars and rattlesnakes. Yeah. And
that's what I want to do.
So we'll take pictures of the show and movies in the middle of nowhere with like five attendees.
Yeah. And laugh and laugh.
If we're lucky, there'll be five. We might have to put a couple of dummies up. We'll bring some mannequins so that we can fill out the crowd if we need to.
I have to come back, but I want to immediately return and go to the Whites as soon as I can. Because you guys are going to go up there, yeah?
We're going to go back via the Whites because I've got off until the following Tuesday, so I don't have to go back to work on Wednesday.
For Bob.
You're going to leave on Sunday, right?
So yeah, I got to start
we'll
back.
We'll probably leave on Sunday and go back.
The other thing is I think I'm supposed to pick up Doctor Sunday night probably in Tracy. I'm guessing. We find out tomorrow. And all the attendant bull hockey that will go with that. You know, it'll be a fiasco, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'll have to go up there and wait around, and there won't be any way to get a hold
Denny's,
of you.
Yeah, it'll be
you
fun.
Because you'll have
so,
a phone that can't call you.
Yeah, I'll laugh and laugh as they talk to my message machine open. So the, all the detritus from Highway 5 will be flying south, too. One time I was real tart. I was coming from I
tart.
Think, seeing you guys. That's right. It was that the 90-95 when I saw you guys. 90? Mm-hmm. 95, I think. I drove around. The end of that one, yeah. And I was in the very last thing. If I could just hang on three more hours, I could sleep in my own bed after, what, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. I've seen it. I went stayed at all the subgenius houses all over America. It was really
remember that when you were with your dad and your brother?
That was 90. So this
I
was 5 years later.
I found some pictures of that just recently. I want to give them to you.
So yeah, and I'm down like Tracy or something just before I get off 5, and I'm so hungry. I pull off, I get a burger. I'm thinking, oh man, you know, I'm seeing the dogs in just a little while. Cool. And as I'm getting back on 5 to go north, so I'm by the burger place, and you go through two lights.
Yeah, burgers.
Here. And then you cross the thing here and you go. So I'm at this one. And there's a car in front of me. And the light turns green. And the Camaro moves out. And then it's immediately struck by a Toyota Land Cruiser, long body, going 70 miles an hour. Just didn't even stop. Didn't even.
Right.
Man. And they just kind of go. And I was like, cool, he's out of the way. And
man, you're hardcore, dude.
I am. One Ranger hardcore. That night. I did not want a Ranger. Like, there are plenty of people there with cell phones. They're going to get into it. I'm getting home.
And let that be a lesson to you listeners. To reduce the risk of drowning, read and follow all information.
What, you mean like this?
Not your girl. Not your toilet information, man. How am I ever going to use that? Where are we? Is it a crash?
In another time, another place, it would have been a whole different kind of situation. But I was just editing that, and so I'm going to put it up on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, the assassination of J.R. Bob Dobbs.
I was about to ask you about that tonight. I haven't loaded that because I'm so far behind on my subscription.
Oh, well, of course. Well, it just sits there, I guess, until those servers in Siberia are erased, wherever my stuff resides. Alongside billions and billions of other people's stuff. It's really pretty cool. I have bad dreams that somebody someday, a long time from now, will be able to put all this together and make some kind of corporate sense of it after the time of us.
No, you're not going to, Daniel. No.
And the nice thing was that the assassination of J.R. Bob Dobbs was filmed
from generation
by
to generation.
Two cameras.
Many wonder what makes us afraid. Is it the sound of the storm at night?
A little training film about some geniuses were required to show before the event in Portland. Sorry, it comes on automatically. I can't shut it off.
That just suddenly appear.
This is Grover. This is Grover. He joined Bob some years
whatever
after.
Your inner fear,
I know,
is,
whatever. He's a bit angry now.
I will be the one to reveal it. You have just entered my domain. Welcome to Twist of Fear. Come. Explore your fear. I dare you.
Well, I will.
Right on, my man.
Sorry, it's a little simulacrum of Bob, the other show. Hey, yo.
Who's that? All right. Yeah, share this with all your friends. Oops.
But, you know, it's just a bunch of Dr. Hals and, let's see, Jill Taylor, who I like a lot.
There was a show on hiatus. Is that show on hiatus again?
Yes, it is. The last of the show. The first chapter. Yeah, and part five of the last of the show, which will slightly amaze five people, will be on soon. I haven't finished the edit, but the last edit of the last show is almost up, and then it's done for a month or so.
Probably by the time it starts up again, we'll cut up on the show.
I know, terrible fate.
Oh, I missed 420. I didn't even realize it.
It's okay, we didn't.
Okay, good. I'm not alone then.
Yeah, that's the important part. When you join the church.
You're not alone?
Oh, I would say you're alone.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
It's not a friendly society of people doing stuff.
Yeah.
More of a depressed nerd concert.
Not very communal, but still enjoyable.
Yeah. How much are the tickets for that Portland Divide?
I don't know. I'll pay whatever it takes.
Yeah. Is it some kind of... do you know the place where it is?
The Ash Street Saloon, I believe.
Oh, cool.
It's right down the heart of club country.
Excellent.
Nice area.
You might even give her more organs.
Voodoo Donuts makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Somebody a Bobby? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a... Japanese sort of mime troupe.
So that weird South African Africana girl.
Yeah.
Who channels space.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've on YouTube.
She's now doing alien puns.
She's doing what?
Some kind of weird. I've always been through my subscription. She's doing some like weird money advice.
Right, yeah.
Last week or so.
Yeah, she used to say, I'm in the same voice with the same inflection, the same person in every single, you know, I'm Marilyn Monroe, I'm John Kennedy, the bullet's coming toward me, I'm about to die. It was kind of a one-trick pony, so I got tired of it, you know, as a cult leader. It was sort of, this young lady channels everything, and now, we're being told by instant news that she's kind of went off on Money World now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't actually watched any of her videos in about 2 months.
That's too bad.
But, she's kind of cute, but,
yeah.
I guess she lives out in a ranch in the middle of nowhere.
That would make sort of sense. Out in District 9.
I actually know people who work in the special effects for that.
That was a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw it, actually. It's pretty good.
So our friends from Wada were up here promoting that 2nd of July.
There's on my YouTube favorites pile way down in the first 5 or 6 or 7 pages there. There's a... it's almost like I can't really tell what... I mean, there's no description or anything in the comment section, but it's a... I mean, there's a little bit, but not enough to tell you what it is. And it's a short movie that is very, very, extremely reminiscent of the District 9 work. And I'm...
Oh, really?
It makes me feel like maybe it's somebody's sales reel. This is what we're going to do.
And where's that? It's on YouTube?
It's on YouTube, and it's got a funny, weird...
You should send that to me. You don't send me stuff anymore.
And just, it doesn't have a normal title, but it's the same. It's the same.
Where are you?
Style. It's a mechanical policeman with still shots of the ghettos in South Africa, and then every once in a while, really gorgeous shots of the CGI'd in of this of the little metal. The metal little policemen's fighting people and stuff, and all very jump cut and all very much like you would take into a. Some investors and say, we're going to make a movie called District 9, and this is the movie that this is what we're, the style of what we think we'll do.
Huh.
And then the guys slap their money on the table and you're off and running. It's a great little movie. Really tightly done. And not at all indicating that it would come up with a kind of sequel. No, no, there wouldn't be any of that.
Well, that's it. I've been watching those Guild things for a while. Kind of followed that last Sunday night. Or was it Saturday?
Very unusual. It was bloody amazing. Try to get there. Very, very poor quality.
We all.
In a good way, though. You know, it's like poor quality, but that's what you're seeking. You know what I'm saying?
Which one is it? Pass left or life or?
So this is where the big red sauce comes in, right?
Grated cheese.
Yeah.
Just in between. Can't be long.
In any case, we'll be back next week. This is getting close to the end here. And that, who was that puzzling evidence?
Who was that puzzling evidence? The lady singer.
Life. Yes.
Life. It's actually Jill Tracy, who's, I just put on my little YouTube thing.
That's what I thought it was.
It wasn't the murder or anything.
Not the murderer? The other one?
Yeah, it was the other one, okay? It wasn't the murderer.
The good one.
Yeah. Okay, just forget about it.
Okay, I forgot. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Oh, here. Although.
Whoever we're talking about.
See that? Here.
Are we the talkers or the talk?
Oh, cool. Get that. Oh, there's two discs. Amazing. Two complete discs.
Combine, you killed wife.
That's what happens. When you're not, when you least expect it, and when you're not watching.
That's what happens?
That's what happens.
I'm buying you killed wife. Follow me to Electric Boogaloo.
The Electric Boogaloo.
Let's see.
What a wonderful dance song. That was. Horrible song, but a great dance.
And the people go wild for the Electric Boogaloo. Back on the show here, folding up the
quantum jumping guy, the American monk. Oh, good enough at looking at you.
Take a lot of still pictures, little rockets, you know, in the desert. Earth. That's what I want to do.
Let's see that one. Oh, yeah. My second favorite actress.
It's Mr. Burt. The American monk. He'll tell you how to live your life.
Where is he?
Look up the American monk on YouTube.
I stumbled upon the American monk, okay.
I stumbled upon this guy over at Alt Slack back in February. He was marking something called quantum jumping.
Quantum jumping?
Yes, improve your life by accessing alternate realities.
No, what was his name? American what?
The American monk. He's pretty much a self-hypnosis guy.
Huh. Lesson one.
quantum jumping DVD kit that goes from like 167 to 295. I'll tell you how to act in the reality.
Quantum jump to attract more wealth.
Modemac
is on there.
How do you quantum jump? Yeah, there you go. I watch it.
Does he ever actually do any jumping?
No, he just, it's just basic hypnosis. Visualizing money. Why don't you? That kind of stuff.
I guess I better save this, huh? Save. Think I will.
Just say what you have to say.
Quantum jumping.
The day that he launched his site. And this whole quantum thing is very, very fun. Yeah. It's a very characters get back and forth in reality.
Definitely something you've got to take advantage of, that's for sure.
Direct rip-off.
These kids in the neighborhood are making bombs using Mentos and soda bottles. They throw the Mentos in the soda bottle, then they screw the top on real quick and they roll it down the street. And then it gets about halfway down the street and blows up. And we hear this huge boom and they go out looking for the explosives. And then there's just this blown out soda bottle. Well, that's kind of clever.
So, Philo, are you going to be doing anything at the Survival?
I don't know. Probably something. I may be performing short duration marriages or. I could marry some people if they want to get married.
All right.
I could do some exorcisms.
I got
panel discussions with multiple personalities. I probably won't do a rant, although I might do an extemporaneous talk. I might do a recitation. Thinking about doing a recitation where I say the terms anal fissure tissue more times in 3 minutes than anyone has ever said before.
The goal of 555 times.
Count me in.
Clock. 3 minutes.
Yep. So, yeah, I'll be there. With my youngest child and my wife, who will also be performing, I'm sure. She'll have something. We may actually perform together.
Family drumming.
Yeah, we may do a routine we've been thinking about that we think would be maybe not enlightening, but at least humorous.
Philo.
Better than enlightening.
Philo.
Yeah.
When does versatility begin to verge on fraud?
Versatility, when does it begin to verge on fraud? That's a really interesting question to ponder. The thing about fraud, it to the person committing the fraud, a lot of times it's not fraud to them. They just have a warped sense of cultural norms. So I think you have to take apart each situation into its various behavioral and motive components to understand the relationships between versatility and fraud. Now, could you be versatile and be a fraud? Yes, I think you could. You could, and could you be employ fraudulent and yet versatile techniques? Probably so, but maybe the concept of fraudulent invalidates the concept of versatility. Could be. I think that's one that would take speculation that goes far beyond the additional 1 minute, 2 minutes we have in this show. But it's an excellent question.
Fraud, as the Gnostics say.